Thank you, choir. Thank you, Dacia. It's a real blessing. That song pretty much summarizes what Christmas is all about, and it summarizes why we are here this morning. Now, we do have a responsive reading embedded somewhere amongst all this paperwork, and it's right here, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So if you can get that or get it in your Bible, either one, let's stand together and read this. I'll read what's in the light print. I'll ask you to read what's in the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
And Bethlehem,
but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for this tremendous privilege you've given us of just gathering here together in your name and to worship your Son and to remember the circumstances and the events of his coming, of his incarnation, becoming one of us in order that he might ultimately give himself to be our Savior. We rejoice today in this wonderful news. We share the joy as if it were the first time we have heard it. And Lord, may the wonder of it and the joy of it never decrease, but increase with each passing day. It is such a wonder, we will never be able to explain it all. Even when we are in heaven, there in your presence around that throne, because of what Jesus did, we'll never be able to explain it all. But we will worship you, and we will praise you, and we will sing to you. And we will be telling this story millions of years from now. Thank you for the reality of the birth of Christ. And thank you for who he is and what he represents and the implications of his life for every single one of us today and for eternity. Now open our hearts and our minds, we pray, to receive your word and teach us what you would have us to know today from these magi who came to worship the King. In Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to follow the notes and fill in the blanks, then now would be the time to get that. I just want to thank everyone for your generosity this Christmas season. Many of you have given gifts and sent cards and said kind words, and I just want you to know Barbara and I really appreciate it, and we thank you for your generosity over, I guess, at least around 30 or over 30 of the white Christmas baskets were given out this time. And again, that's because of your generosity. And thank you so very much. I just thought we'd take another look at these wise men, magi. It's a story we've all heard, of course. It's only recorded by Matthew. Luke doesn't record it at all. Luke records the trip to Bethlehem and the shepherds and the angels appearing to the shepherds and all of that. But since Matthew presents the Lord Jesus Christ as king throughout his gospel, that is no doubt the reason that this is also included. But it is tantalizing what he tells us about these men. And of course, it's tantalizing what he does not tell us about these men. But I just thought we would take another little look at it. And I like to look at words and kind of pick them apart. So bear with me as we go through this. This is a story we know well. And most of what I'll be stating this morning is just stating the obvious. But at the same time, let's look at a little bit of the deeper meaning here. Number one that we know about these magi is that they saw a star. They saw a star. They come to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, in order to see a star, you have to be looking for a star. And, we don't just discover things by accident. We discover them because we were looking for them. And because we were paying attention. I'm not real good at paying attention a lot of times. And we'll walk in the room, "Did you see so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so?" "No, I never saw it. You know, I was focused on something else. I never saw it. You know, it was right there, but I did. I never saw it." And so it is. But the wise men saw the star. We don't have any record of anybody in Israel seeing the star. And yet the one who is born is the King of the Jews. We don't have any record of any of them seeing a star and saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" It takes these Gentile magi from hundreds of miles away to see the star. And the reason they see the star is because they're probably searching, and at the very least, they're paying attention. How much do we miss about the gospel because we're just not looking and because we're just not paying attention? And we wonder sometimes how in a country like this, where there's a church on almost every corner, Bibles everywhere, as many versions as you want, Christian bookstores in almost every township in the nation, that there are still a lot of people out there that know very little, if anything, about the Lord Jesus Christ, or let alone the whole Bible. And hey, because we're not looking or we're not paying attention. And so just because something, you know, isn't clear to us doesn't mean it isn't there. It became very clear to these magi. It was there, folks. It was there. They saw it. So why didn't other people see it? Because other people weren't looking, weren't searching, and weren't paying attention. And that's why a lot of people miss the gospel message. You may know some of them. Number two, they studied the star. They didn't just see the star, they studied the star. We read in this verse, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, did they just look at that star and say, "Oh, I know what that is"? We're using deductive reasoning here, but they had to have carefully investigated. They went and dug up some old records somewhere and were blowing some dust off of something. They had some means, you know, of this, something that led them. They studied. They didn't just see it, but they really looked into it. I mean, it's amazing what you can learn about something if you really look into it. I'm imagining that there are men sitting in this building right now this morning that could tell me amazing things about baseball players, baseball teams, football teams that I don't have the slightest idea about. Names of players, records, how many this, how many that, isn't that right? If we really look into it, I mean, it's amazing what we can learn about something, you know? But you got to tell you, it doesn't just come to you. I mean, even that. You know, these guys that can spout off every player's record and all of this, hey, they've looked into it. They've studied it. It may be worthless information. No, I'm sorry. But they studied it. And that's why they know it. And have we taken the time? You know, a lot of people, especially when it comes to their relationship with God, they're fine with the surface thing. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Oh, yeah, I go to church. Yeah, all right. But do you do any digging? Do you do any studying? Do you really look? You know, I mean, you know, it always surprises us pastors, the level of ignorance of the word among the congregation at large. I'm not picking on my congregation. I'm just telling you the way it is worldwide. And that's because we come to church and we hear and we listen a little bit, but we pay service attention, but we're not out there digging for it because our teacher will tell us all about it Sunday morning, so we don't have to do any digging. Have I stopped preaching and gone to meddling? They studied the star. We don't know. They studied it. I mean, we don't know. You know, I heard it suggested the other night that, you know, and come to think of it, these magi, you read about them all through the Old Testament. These were the guys that were in all the king's courts. These were the guys like Pharaoh had around him. These are the guys like Nebuchadnezzar had around them. They were the most educated people of their day. They were sent to special schools. They went to all the special schools. They were taught in all the known sciences of their day, and the kings depended on them for decision-making, prognostications, and all kinds of things. And there were four Jewish boys in Babylon about 500 or 600 years before this who went to all those schools and who were magi, if you want to call them that, themselves, even though they worshiped only Jehovah God. And one of them, by the name of Daniel, wrote in a prophecy concerning the coming of the Messiah and even predicted the very day on which he would be cut off. And do you remember that it says that when Nebuchadnezzar called them in, that these boys were, I forget how many times, better than anybody else that he had in his court? Not only, and Daniel served for 70 years. Daniel was influential. He's the one who said, ask the king to lay off a little bit, and if he will, I'll not only tell him what he dreamed, I'll tell him the meaning of the dream, because all of the magi were going to be killed because the king had said, you not only have to tell me what my dream means, you've got to tell me my dream. And Daniel is the one who saved the day. Do you think he was looked up by all the rest of the astrologers and magi's? He saved their lives and served for 70 years under the other administrations that came after Nebuchadnezzar. And so this man had a giant impact in that whole. This was a cast of people. This was a special cast of people. And Daniel and his friends had a tremendous impact among them. And it could be that these were Chaldeans who were, you know, from that line and still had access to some of that information. And they're like, well, Daniel said that the Jewish Messiah would be cut off here. So if he's cut off here, he probably is going to be born around here. Who knows? Interesting speculation. But they made the connection. And not only that, does it say anywhere here that they were wrong? We know they weren't wrong. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, hadn't he? And they arrived months after the fact. You know, it says they came into the house. So Mary and Joseph had gone down there, but apparently he stayed and got some carpentry work and all of that. And so by now, Jesus is probably one and a half. He's probably jumping up in his mother's lap. You know, it's even a different word for child. It's like a toddler child that they come and they worship. By the way, and I know I've said it before, it never says there's three of them. It says they opened their gifts, gold, incense, and myrrh. So I guess that's where people get the idea. This might have been an entourage of a half a dozen, a dozen, or two dozen or more. because it says Magi from the east. This may have been quite an impressive entourage. And folks, when all these guys arrive in Jerusalem and they want to talk to Herod and they want to know where is he born king of the Jews, no wonder it says Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. You talk about throwing a firecracker in the middle of an unsuspecting crowd. But they studied the star. Number three, they not only saw the star and studied the star, they followed the star. They said, let's pack up and let's go to Israel because this is too big and too important of an event to miss. And let me tell you something, this isn't like going over here to Orf. Have y'all seen those take Orf signs? Going over here to Orf and flying to Cincinnati or something and then coming back 3 days later. It wasn't like that at all. They'd have to load up for the trip. And it would be dangerous. Men of wealth and everything traveling over the deserts where there were bands of robbers and everything for that length of time, it would be a dangerous undertaking. It would be a costly undertaking. And yet they said, this is too important to miss. They understood who this Messiah was. They understood, and they came all that distance. And yet here's Herod sitting right there in Jerusalem, and here's all these doctors of the laws and scribes, and they're clueless. They catches them totally by surprise. What, a king of the Jews? But they followed. They followed. They followed with action. They followed with commitment. They followed with investment of time and energy. They followed by, in a way, putting their lives on the line in order to follow this star. Are you acting on the truth you have? Are you acting on it? Or are you just saying, oh, that's really neat. Yeah, that's really neat. Let's take a picture of it. Yeah, maybe we'll publish it in a book, you know, and here's this star too, whatever. Or are you acting on it? They followed the star. Number four, they traveled far because they said, where is he who's been joined king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east. So they traveled far. They weren't from around the corner. This wasn't a 2-week undertaking or anything like that. They traveled far. They went a great distance. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to inconvenience yourself in order to fully experience everything that God has for you and everything that God has in Christ and everything that God has in His Word? I mean, how far are you willing to go? I remember reading this little story of the guy, and he says, sweetheart, I love you so much. Oh, I just love you so much. I would cross any mountain. I'd cross any desert. I'd cross any sea. I would do anything just to be at your side. And a little later that evening, when it was time to go, he said, sweetheart, I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. How far would you go to really know the truth? We have it all around us. The Jews, they had it all around them. These guys didn't have it all around them. But hey, once they found it, they knew the value of it. And they said, hey, we're going to follow this star. We're not just going to see it and study it. We're going to follow it. And we're going to travel far. They're like, oh, a lot of people say, oh, but that's too far. I'd love to, but oh, that's too far. Oh, we'll be off the job for like 24 months. Whatever. They said, let's do it. Let's do it. Are you easily put off just because it's kind of hard or difficult or it's going to take a little while? I'm glad these guys had that kind of a commitment, aren't you? Okay, number five. They sought a king. And I just put that in there. They weren't just looking for, you know, anybody. They sought a king. They recognized this was a king. They were coming to worship him. They sought a king. So they had researched it. They knew the identity of the one they sought. Let's just leave it at that. Number six, they inquired for the child. Now, they not only saw the star, studied the star, followed the star, traveled a long ways, sought for a king, but they also went around saying, by the way, can you tell us where he is? We know he's born. We know he's around here somewhere. Can you tell us where he is? We want to find him because we want to worship him. And so they were inquiring about the child. They were asking. Oh, I tell you what, in your witnessing efforts or whatever, when people start asking questions, you're not just telling them, but they've got a hunger in their heart, and they're beginning to ask you questions. And I tell you what, I used to love it in the car business, too. People start asking me questions. You know, people don't ask questions usually. There are exceptions. But most people don't ask questions unless they're interested. So you know at least they're interested. So listen carefully for that, because we call them inquirers or seekers. There are people out there. They haven't found it yet, but they're asking. What if they run into some Jehovah's Witness or something before they find you, huh? So when you hear somebody that's got questions, you better be on that and start praying for that person and maybe doing a little digging yourself. But they had the interest, so they were asking. So they say, where is he? Where is he? If they were looking for help from others, they had the basic idea, but they were looking for help from others to get even better information. Are you hungry that way, or are you like, nah, I already know all that stuff? Number seven, they not only inquired, but they searched diligently for the child until they found him. Folks, talk about a long shot in a way. They didn't have Tom-Tom. Is that what it's called? I hear it's real popular this year. They didn't have the SA, you know, that satellite positioning thing. They didn't have that thing that talks to you and tells you, you know, turn left here and turn right there, whatever. They didn't have that. But they searched until they found him. They didn't give up until the mission was accomplished. And thank God that that was the case. And Herod said, yeah, go search diligently. And they did. He knew, he could tell these guys were in earnest. If he thought they weren't, he wouldn't have told them that, because he wanted to find the baby to kill him. So if he didn't know they were in earnest, he wouldn't have told them that, because he'd be like, yeah, they'll leave and then I'll never see them again. Yeah, right. No, no. He knew they were going to finish the job. And he's like, hey, these guys, oh man, they're on. I can use them, you know, because I know they're not going to quit until they find him. How earnest are we in our search for the things of God and for the truth? Okay, so they inquired for the child. They searched diligently for the child. And then in number eight, seeing the star a second time brought them great joy. So when they struck out again, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Folks, these men were men of science. These men were like our doctors today. These men were educated men, but they experienced joy because when they saw the star a second time, they said, oh, man, this is great. We're almost there. We can feel it. We can almost taste it. I mean, we're almost there. And they were emotionally involved. Do you enjoy your relationship with the Lord? Huh? We got the greatest news in the world, but you wouldn't know it by some people's attitude or expression on their face. You know, Christians are sometimes the quickest to complain. Am I right or am I wrong? But they were overjoyed, and the Lord wants us to get, yeah, I mean, it's not based on emotion, but my. When you see your grandchildren opening those presents on Christmas morning, don't you get involved a little bit, huh, emotionally? Of course. There's joy. It's not based on emotion, but the joy should be there because it's based on reality. Amen? It's like, and I've got it, you know. Jamie's been around the ring. Yeah, I got it. And that's the way it ought to be in our search for the Lord and the things of God. Wow. But we get to the most important part. Number 9, they worshiped. That was the point all along, folks. They saw the star. They studied the star. They followed the star. They traveled far. They sought a king. They inquired for the child. They searched diligently for the child. They experienced joy on seeing the star. And this is so that when they found him, they could worship. Because back, all the way back there, in verse 2 or whatever, it says, came Magi during the time of King Herod. Magi came from the east and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. So they stated their intention right up front when they arrived in Jerusalem. And then down here in this other verse, it says in verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And then what does it say? And then they started asking Mary, oh, how did it happen and all about this? Give us the details. Tell us the story. No, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. I think the New American Standard says they bowed down to the ground and worshiped him. So again, they knew who he was. These men of princely status, these men who probably were from the court of a king, basically almost the equivalent to a king themselves, they come and they bow before him. I don't know who you are in life, and I don't know how many degrees you have, or how much money you have, or how nice a house you have. But when you get in the presence of the real king, there is one proper reaction and response, and that is to bow down and worship him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And it makes me feel so privileged because I'm just a common person, and yet he lets me in and lets me come and worship right beside the guy with all the education and all the rings on his finger and stuff. And I just think, that's such a wonderful thing. Number 10, they worshiped first. What else did they do? They brought gifts. Two things we'll say about these gifts, and I think we have some blanks there. They were carefully chosen, and they were costly. Oh, well, let me just drop by Walmart at the last minute and see what I can find. For the king. Even if it wasn't exactly what you wanted, you appreciate it when you know some thought and caring went into it. We don't come to the king empty-handed. And there are things he wants from us. And we may not have much by way of the things of this world or whatever, but there are things that he wants from us, and for us they may be very costly. But those are the gifts that will really show that we esteem him and that really show our desire that our worship of him is true. And so we bring gifts. For some, it might be gifts of money. For others, it might be gifts of time, gift of your talent, basically yourself, just everything that you are and who you are. And that's what you bring to him and give to him. But it needs to be carefully chosen, and it needs to be costly. David said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord of that which costs me nothing. And that is the attitude that we need to come. It's not that does he really need anything from me? Not really, not that way. But see, I'm the one who needs to understand who I'm worshiping. And so he does need that from me, because it's not the worship itself, but it is a token. And he will use that. Many believe that these gifts, because they were so costly and so rare, were what financed the trip down to Egypt. Because right after this, Herod is going to kill all the little baby boys based on his conversation with the wise men, 2 years old and under, in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area. And the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, take the baby and his mother to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. And again, they weren't there just a few weeks. They were there quite a while until Herod's death. And it would take money to finance that. And Mary and Joseph didn't hardly have a dime to their name. They were dirt poor. They were so poor that when they dedicated Jesus, instead of bringing a lamb, they brought two turtle doves. And you brought the turtle doves if that's all you could afford. And so these gifts of these men no doubt financed that, and God made provision. But let me tell you, this trip of the Magi, I'll tell you what, everybody around there may have been oblivious to it, but talk about a loud statement. God used these men to make a loud statement in Jerusalem. The Messiah is here! And anybody that missed that one because they wanted to miss it. Because it got Herod's attention, let me tell you. And then he calls in all the scribes and all the bigwigs from the temple. Where is the Messiah going to be born? Oh, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You know, that's prophesied, you know, whatever. Oh, yeah, God is making a big statement through these men. Well, they brought the gifts, number 11. They returned home, changed men. Now, it doesn't say they were changed. It says they returned to their country by another route after an angel appeared to them and warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. But do you think they could have traveled all that distance? They could have seen that star, gotten excited about the star, studied that star, traveled far, inquired, searched diligently, rejoiced at the second appearing of the star, worshiped, and not be changed men? Not a chance of it. How much has your relationship with the Lord changed you? How much has it? But if we make that kind of investment to the Lord for real, from our hearts, it'll change us. You can't do all that. There's things you can do, surface things, and not really be changed by them. But you can't go to the level these guys went to and not be changed. Number 12, aren't you glad? This is my summary statement about the Magi. They followed what little light they had, and it led them to Jesus. In our country, almost the reverse is true. Why is it that in spite of so much preaching and so much on TV and the internet and in books and everywhere else that the gospel is out there, folks, we almost... But it's because, why? Well, there are a number of reasons. That's a whole separate message, really. Too busy to notice. Why did a lot of people never see that star? Just too busy to notice. And don't people say they're so busy now? Isn't that what everybody says? Oh, I'm busier than I've ever been. We'd be so busy getting ready for Christmas. We miss the whole thing. They notice, but they don't have any interest. Oh, there's a star. Oh, nice. They notice, but ignore. They notice, but they rationalize. Oh, well, yeah, well, this, that, the other, but on the other hand, notice, but postpone. Oh, yeah, well, maybe someday when I have enough of this or enough of that, maybe I'll make a trip to go see the king, you know. Notice, but reject. Don't want to hear it. too busy living life, too busy having fun, too busy doing my own thing. Notice, but choose something else in his place. That one might hit close to home. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. In Proverbs, it says, wisdom stands at the corner. Wisdom cries out, hey, you simple, stop. Stop what you're doing. You're on your way to destruction. But they're too busy to pay any notice. And then calamity comes. And it says, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Oh, it's there. People don't miss the real point of Christmas because it's not there. It's because our attention is focused elsewhere, or it's because we have competing interests. So to all of you alike, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior because you've never taken the time to bow and truly yield your life to Him, or if you're already a believer and you've served the Lord for a long time, let's make this the Christmas where we follow, and not just Christmas, our lives from this point on, where we follow these magi in there. We see it, but we also study it. We study it, but we also follow it. And that's what discipleship really is. And we really do worship the King every day. We will emerge changed men and changed women. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you've put it out there. It's out there for anybody that's interested. It's out there for anybody that'll take a little bit of time and look into it. It's out there for anyone who will stop ignoring it and finally listen. It's out there for those who will stop rejecting it and say, I know I've rejected it all these years, but I realize now it's time for me to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, Lord, help us not to be so casual, as it were, about our relationship with you and just kind of float along and take it for granted. Let us understand this is the point of life. This is the point. This is why we were put here. And it is a value. And to seek and to search and to dig and to let you do the work in our hearts and in our lives that you want to do so that when we do worship, it actually has some meaning. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for sending your Son. Let us worship at His feet. And this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know what part of this message might have spoken to you, but listen to what the Lord's telling you. And if you have anything on your heart you'd like to share during the closing hymn, come forward as we sing. I don't know.